You're listening to Compassion Radio. Welcome to the daily report of God's hands on the hearts and minds of His children all around the world. Sometimes those hands are literally holding us up or holding us together. And that truth is right at the heart of the interview you'll hear today. It's part three of a series we've titled From Certain Death to Brand New Life, and it features an extraordinary lady named Natasha Latour. She's probably one of the only people you'll ever hear from in your life who has literally received the business end of a serial killer's gun and faced cancer one after the other. She's certainly unusual in the sheer joy she exudes in telling the whole story. And there's a lot more to get to today. It includes some real gut punches to our cozy, put-together faith we work so hard to maintain. But it's very important that we hear the story all the way through. If you missed either of the previous episodes, you'll find them in the podcast section of our website, CompassionRadio.com. We'll pick it up today where Natasha is explaining the state she was in when she was facing the diagnosis of advanced cancer.
So the cancer was just like, I was like, okay, so you're going to let me be not only a survivor, but a warrior? Okay, let's do it. This chemotherapy for me is nowhere near what I expected from the movies.
Yeah.
You think you're going to be crawling? I mean, and some people are. I felt this weird sense of strength when I heard that I had it. I thought to myself, well, thank God it's not my sister because she has kids. I don't have any kids. My mom, I was like, you know, please be present in her life because she's kind of sick of me. She's like, you know, come on. Like, you know, first the shooting, you know, and now the cancer. I remember thinking also, Bram, it was last week I was not able to get my chemotherapy because I had pneumonia and the flu. I was in the hospital for 2 days.
Right.
And I was like, you know, man, you know, I want this to just let it play out because your body goes through different things with it. You're tired. You're sensitive to water, just all kinds of crazy things. And I'm halfway through it. Mm-hmm. When I was unable to get it, I was like, you know, wow. So you're telling me I have 2 more weeks. It's just a stretch, you know? Yeah. And meanwhile, I figured, hey, you know what? Why not share it? Because you know what, Bram? Because of the serial killer situation, it's not really mine. I knew that from the beginning anyway. You know, I had to go and tell them, hey, I've got third stage cancer. The pretrial has not happened yet. So regardless, I mean, even if I had no hair at all, you have to go do this. You know, life is going to happen still. Yeah. I may as well include people and encourage them, inspire them to go ahead and get their colonoscopy. And while you do, have a conversation with God, whoever it is you see him.
When you're going through chemo now, you're in a place where people say, well, I can relate to that. I've had cancer. I've even had colon cancer. I've survived it. Or I lost somebody who had it. I mean, you have lots of touch points now where you have commonalities. I actually lost my grandfather to it. But it was years and years ago where the advances that are actually available to you now are not anywhere close to what he had at the time.
Yeah.
But he did die fairly young. So yes, I'm getting checked every year like clockwork.
Good.
But you have the ability now to step into people's lives and say, besides my outrageously crazy story, which is something you ought to hear sometime, what you're going through right now is, I get it. I get what you're going through. And they can say the same to you. You have actually, you have a whole new community of people that get you. And that you get them. So God seems to be expanding your tent literally in that way.
Yes.
You can walk into places where the chemo is going on and say, I know how to be with these people. I know how to be a friend. I know how to help you believe and have faith for things that God's doing. The joy of the Lord has been my strength. It is now.
Yeah.
So let me hear your story and be part of it. And suddenly you are in a place of not just authority, but of ministry to people. Yeah. Who are scared to death.
Yes. Yeah. It's a scary situation. The thing I'm learning from this whole cancer thing is, you know, the chemotherapy, our reactions are really, truly are so different.
Yeah.
You know, and I was over there preparing for my hair to go. My hair may still go. I mean, I had to cut my hair off just because I couldn't lift my arm from the shooting. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so then to have it, you know, getting back. And then every time I got ready to let it grow, I'd have to go to court. And I didn't want to go shabby. So I, you know, and now I'm like, I've been wanting my hair back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm just going to let it grow. And if it falls out, then it falls out and it comes back. Then so be it. But it's interesting because I was in there the other day in the oncology, and there's three of us in there, and the nurse leaves. I look over to the left, look over to the right, very dramatic. This girl, it's over to the side. I said, you know, hey, psst. And she looks at me and she goes, me? And I go, yeah, what are you in for? You know, we're all there.
Exactly.
She started laughing. She goes, cancer. And I go, yeah, me too. You know what I mean? And she starts laughing. And I said, you know, this is going to pass. And she goes, I know. And so we're able to laugh. It is kind of weird because, you know, I'm in the same city where I survived the serial killer. But yeah. I think when they see me and they realize, okay, well, she went through that with God and she's going through this with God and it still happened, even though God is with her, like, you know, you're not exempt.
Right.
You know, life is still going to happen to you. And I would rather have all this stuff happening with him than without him. And you know what, Bram, the more that I think about it, what a blessing. I would have not known that I had cancer if I didn't get shot. I don't know how long I had it, and nobody knows what causes colon cancer. And just like you said, the medical advancements, I have a port. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, there's no veins are going to collapse when they're trying to give me the chemo. Right. It's like it's just going directly in there. I've been shot a ton of times, so these little needles don't bother me. Yeah. I mean,
it's a little prick.
The thing I'm struggling with now is wearing the mask.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we all had to wear the COVID mask for so right. long, and I'm supposed to wear it now. And it's just really frustrating because I'm like, I don't want to wear it. I don't need it, you know, and then I get the pneumonia. That's God saying, well, maybe you need that mask. You know what I mean? It's like, okay.
Being a patient the second time around is always a tough one, right?
Yeah.
Really the same thing up here in the Northwest because of all that's happening in California and up here right now with the avian flu. They're deeply concerned with the possibility of it making a big jump from livestock. I mean,
yeah.
We're having the same problem here about not being able to get eggs or cream for your coffee because the herds are so
hit. $400 eggs, right?
Right. Those things are indicative of the signs that we often get saying, you're not going to like the news right now, but it's better to know than to not to know.
Yeah.
And that same thing is like true with cancer in our lives. As hard as it is to face the trauma of getting news you don't want to get.
Yeah.
It is still better that the truth happens.
Yeah. Well, no, definitely. The other thing is, too, is that the two things that I've always feared in life were a serial killer and cancer, right? It's just interesting because those are the two fears that I've faced.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We have definitely faced them.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, it hasn't been nearly as bad as people would think that it would be. And I know the reason why. Because of who I met in the street that night. Yeah. I called, he came. I'm supposed to have all these problems. And I'm like, I don't know if people are making those up or what, but you know, but if you just try him out, they just cease to exist. That's the honest to God truth. I just don't have these terrible hangups. Shortly after I was shot, I went and I told my mom, I'm leaving this motel and I'm going to go get a tent. And she said, get a tent and go where? Are you serious? I said, I'm going to go over there by the food bank, by the Amtrak station. And I didn't know why I was going there, Bram. I had no idea why I was going there. I knew that it was going to save my mom $600 a week and that I was going to be just fine. And should I need anything, I can go to the food bank. And I was waiting for victim witness to react. What I did know was by the time that the police told me to move a month later, I had no problems hearing train anymore. And I was like, gosh, you know, so I don't have this PTSD where I'm feeling like a Vietnam vet. You know what I mean?
Right. So God kind of detuned the triggers for you so that they weren't so loud in your brain at that point.
Well, yeah. And one of my favorite places to go, you know, like I remember I was talking to CNN and they looked at me. They were like, well, can we go there? And I was so confused. I said, go where? And I started laughing. I said, this is not where I almost lost my life. This is where I met Jesus. It's one of my favorite places. We can go anytime you want to go. I wish I could put a table right there and just sit there. I mean, this is not a fearful place for me.
Mm. Amen to that.
So, you know, it's an interesting thing that this cancer thing would be happening. It's kind of like, wow, when I celebrate remission, which I believe I will, I'll be doing it with maybe a lot of eggs. I think a lot of eggs around. I'll just have family and friends and just be very grateful. And look what he did.
Yeah.
Look what he did again.
Here and in heaven, I think, is where all that celebration is going to happen. We get to tell the stories over and over again. I mean, I'm going into the celebration of life for my father here in the next couple of weeks. We lost him a little before Thanksgiving.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And finally getting friends and family to come together and tell the stories, you know.
Yeah.
It is about a faithful life for him and how he loved people and he loved absolutely generously his whole life. For me, it's going to be a joy to hear other people able to speak well of the man and actually hear something I had never heard before. But it is not a vain hope, you know. It's not like we're just remembering something that will never be again, because I absolutely believe, like you do, that we are eternal. And one way or another, we're going to bring glory to God, and that God is not unhappy that he made us.
No.
And he was not unwilling to be with you at the worst moment of your life. I think God knows full well, just by being with us, we are going to be so overjoyed with what we experience with him.
Yes.
Can't help but thank him, and that he gets great joy from that too, somehow.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the economy of God is really like, but it sure seems like when he shows up, everyone gets a whole lot richer.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
I know we have
Yeah.
to wrap up our first big conversation somehow. So I want to, if you don't mind me asking the permission to do so, I'd love to track along the progress of what's happened with the cancer and see how
Sure.
God brings you through it, hear more stories along the way.
Sure.
In the meantime, to wrap this session up, if you could be brave enough to say to people in the church, the folks that would have seen you come in the first time in church and said, not one of us, we don't
Yeah.
have nothing to do with this, and the kind of spiritual bigotry that is baked into an entitlement culture within the church, which I hate to acknowledge is actually true. It's there.
Yeah.
We really
Yes.
truly believe when we start off that we made the right choice. God is going to bless us, and we don't have to deal with those complicated people out there in the world.
Yeah.
And I think Jesus looks at that and says, wake up. He wants
Yeah.
to grab us hard on that one.
Here's more of Natasha Latour's amazing story coming up in just a moment. Friends, Compassion Radio has been committed to bringing you the truth about what God is really doing in the world and how He is bringing about the salvation, redemption, life, and growth of His kingdom wherever it is to be found. I'm grateful for the opportunity and humbled by the responsibility. I could not have imagined how many momentous changes were hiding right around the corner when I said yes to this job. Even now, I wouldn't change it for the world, but it's also fair to say that it's brought about challenges that have tried the very fabric of my faith. So much has changed and is changing in this world. At the same time, I'm discovering in a deeper way how absolutely consistent God is in times of trial. Here's the challenge before us, taking on bigger, more ambitious, more important projects than we have ever done before, bringing the compassion of Christ into the very center of the world's greatest conflicts. To get there, we need to raise some serious support, and to do it soon. We'll need to have raised an additional $100,000 above our current giving in order to go and to give. When we face a challenge like this, we've done two things. One, we ask God what He wants, and two, we tell our friends what we need. Today, we're doing both. God is opening doors to see what He's doing in currently closed countries and join that work. I'm saying yes. And now I'm sharing the specific need with you so you can say yes, too. And there are still thousands of Bibles we still need to send through our friends at Bibles for the World. It is essential that we raise this new amount of $100,000 this quarter, or we can't proceed with any new outreach and relief programs. So I'll ask you, will you help? Just call today with your first gift and consider making it monthly. Call us 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. If you're on the move right now, you can also text Compassion to 53445 to make your gift immediately. God bless you. And now, back to our discussion.
We really
Yes.
truly believe when we start off that we made the right choice. God is going to bless us, and we don't have to deal with those complicated people out there in the world.
Yeah.
And I think Jesus looks at that and says, wake up. He wants
Yeah.
to grab us hard on that one. Talk to them, whether it's evangelical or traditional or Pentecostal or Catholic. You've been through all these different worlds as a kid, and your parents prayed for you over all those years. So you know you've got a rich spiritual tradition and history and foundation. What do these people need to hear from someone like you, Natasha?
I believe that that it's important to know that he died for all of us, each and every one of us, for our sins. When we're told that every knee shall bow, you can take that in whatever way that you wanted. I don't believe that God allowed me. I don't believe that he sent a shooter to try to take me out. I do know that he knew I was going to be in that position, and he knew that I was going to call, and he knew he was going to shock me by showing up. And it contradicts so many things that people tell people like me in the church. And that makes us walk away. And in fact, it is a huge reason why there's a lot of suicides amongst the teenage gay population, especially the males, is because they think that God doesn't love him and God's not going to come there for him. And as a gay drug addict, he came for me, and he came instantly for me, and he has changed my life. And if there's one thing I know is that when he comes back, he's going straight to the hood. He's not going to go. He's not going to go make sure everybody's okay in the church. He's going to go in places where everybody in the church said that he wouldn't go. You know what I mean? I don't mean everybody in the church, but most of the people, there's a lot of people that are not following that simple, he who is without sin will cast the first stone.
So let's not cast stones, period.
Yes. And so they're pushing his children away. And so therefore we're not going and we don't know that, you know, he really does love us and we can call him and he'll be there.
And when you speak that, Natasha, what I hear is authority. And that is something that most of the power structure within evangelicalism does not want to hear from somebody who hasn't trained like they do, hasn't been raised like they do, hasn't been successful like they have been in their own minds. And so I want to acknowledge that there's a kind of spiritual authority that comes with the ordaining, for lack of a better term, of the Spirit of God Himself touching your forehead, saying, "You're mine, you're blessed, I love you, and you didn't have to change everything about you for me to love you right now where you are."
Exactly.
So I have to affirm that. I can't deny that. What that means and how we're supposed to be responding to that and adjust our frame of reference, I'm not telling anybody else what to do about this. I'm simply saying, I've met you as a person now. I know what you are as a human being. I understand your story, and I marvel at it in the right way, I hope. And I know that we're going to sit down and sup at that table of the Lamb someday and actually have a full long celebration and a long storytelling.
I think we are.
Do me one more favor if you can, Natasha. Talk to
Yes.
people in your situation that are hiding right now, that might even be listening to this program, that are so ashamed about admitting their own bucket full of sin that they figure they're going to end up on the streets like you have been, and they're hiding it right now. Or they're hiding the struggle they're having with sexuality, whatever it is that is troubling them so much, they're afraid they're not going to be able to exist in this world. But they're in the church.
What I would say to anybody that is hiding with any kind of addiction or their sexuality or just who they are as a person is that there is absolutely no point in that. He knows you from the inside and out. Once you invite the Lord in, you know, you have to invite him in, and he is your best friend instantly. He's very familiar with you. He knows everything about you. All you have to do is talk to him. That doesn't require you to dress up on Sundays. And if you're not welcome in the places where you think that you should be, then have church at your own home and communicate with him amongst your friends or just by yourself. He answers. It may not be with his voice, but they just in your actions, you'll find out. Whenever you ask yourself, Jesus, what would you do? You'll find that you'll be doing something completely opposite of what you would do.
At
So I've
least where
learned
you were
not to
starting,
always, I've learned to be like, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do right now. And then I'll ask him what he wants to do after that's done. But he already knows. He's just waiting for us to invite him in. And when we do, is when the change happens. And our better days are better. Our worst days are better. Everything is better with him there. You know, so there's no point in hiding from him because he already knows everything about you.
You probably have been meeting some people that are in those kind of situations that are finally opening up to you because they've heard your story and they felt like they had nobody to confide in, perhaps. You've probably encountered some of those folks along the way. Is it really safe, though, for those who are struggling with the kind of things you struggle with to open up and to invite Jesus in and to disclose the reality of your life to somebody else?
Oh yeah, you can talk to Jesus about anything. In fact, you know, people can take this however they want to take it, but I didn't vote this year because Jesus wasn't on the ballot. That's the honest to God truth. I
I am
mean,
kind of afraid of what party he's going to be shoved into if he tried. So,
but you know, he is the safest place to go. And you don't have to go. The best thing about that is you don't have to get to Jesus via anybody. You can just speak to him directly, and he's going to show up directly, and he'll meet you wherever you are. So he can meet you at the Pottery Barn. He can meet you in the garden. He can meet you in the grossest place in the city, in the alley. He can meet you when you're dying. And when he does, you'll know it because your life just changes. All you have to do is call him. And then you have to do these two little small things. You have to trust and you have to believe that he's going to show up for you. And if he showed up for me, then he's going to show up for anybody.
And the kind of faith you're talking about too, about the faith that actually sees things happen, they're driven usually by desperation, but also with some kind of germ in there that says there must be more. It's like the God himself puts that seed in there to say, do the most outrageous thing you can possibly think of. And that usually for people is talk to God directly. And you were brave enough that way to actually dare him to be real. And I know a lot of people that just find that particular exercise of actually asking God, if you're really there, I need you now. They're so scared of that interaction because they fear that if they do hear, it's going to be instant condemnation, that they will never cross that Rubicon and say, I'll try that.
He never said, Jesus had never told me anything like that at all. All he's ever told me to do, which was frustrating at sometimes, was just to rest. I'm preparing you for something. Just rest. I thought that he meant sleep. You know what I mean? And so I told my aunt, who was a minister, now I laugh. My aunt, I told her, I kind of relate to the prodigal child. I definitely relate to the woman at the well, and I'm pretty sure I've been the woman in the well, and I've had my Lazarus moment. I don't need, like, nothing has to be proven to me. All I know is that, like, hey, don't take it from me. Call him yourself. But you got to believe that he'll show up. I thought maybe he'd show up a little bit late. Do you know what kind of timing, Bram, you have to have? The kind of precision you have to be able to get somebody who has a bullet in their lung and they're 15 minutes away from the only trauma center in Stockton? That means I had to flag down help so that they can get help to get me there. And the minute I said, God, I'm dying, Jesus shows up, puts his arms around me, takes all the pain of all the bullets while he starts to tremble. And then I get there and I don't even have a limp. I don't have a colostomy bag. The only thing that I have on me that you and I can see is this crooked finger from a shot in the back from the nerves. And when I was frustrated trying to figure that out, I started laughing because look where it's pointing. I'm like, this guy, we don't know. All we know is hair of wool and skin of copper. And I'm sure he was probably darker than this, but this right here, he's gonna show up for you.
And what you're showing me on the video here is the tattoo that's on your left arm that says it all. It's got not just the cross and the suffering and the glory that is the pain and suffering of Christ, the theology of the cross, but above that, the person, the faith that you feel would be attached to the invisible Jesus that had his arms around you is now painted on your arm. So obviously that's a story starter.
And on this arm is the tank.
There you go.
It's going over the bullet graze I was telling you about earlier.
There you go.
And right here on top of it says saved by his grace.
Well, Natasha, this has been a marvelous introduction to your life for me. And I'm glad we didn't get it horribly wrong in trying to cite the people that had talked to you before when we did our Compassion Radio 360 program.
No, you did a wonderful job.
So we do, by the way, go in those kind of programs praying, help us not to get it woefully wrong. Help us to actually see what's going on here. Give us a little bit of spiritual insight to the situation that's happening in these stories so that we can relate to people a genuine spiritual truth. Is there some scripture here that can lift us up to be seeing him in these circumstances? And how can we identify with the people that are in these stories? And I was a bit fearful in doing your story the first time around that we're talking about something so outrageously outlandish that no one's going to believe it. Or they'll discredit it, or that they wouldn't give us the time of day to say it's worth even thinking about or talking about. But people did respond to your program. And then, sure enough, your friends found the lead to the podcast of that program. And we started this conversation. So I'm very, very grateful for that. God's been gracious to us to give us friends in the people that He has already established as being a friend first. And you are a friend of God.
Thank you.
You have given Him hospitality by welcoming Him in to hold you at a time when you needed it. And those kind of desperations for him are chances for him to glory over us and to accept our welcome and to bring a gift. You probably know this too, having been homeless for as long as you were, just being able to be asked into somebody's home, what a joy it is for you to be able to go there and bring something with you. I'll bring the bread. I'll bring the wine. I'll bring something. And just the opportunity to be with people in their homes is honored. And so we literally honor God by opening the door when he's knocking.
We do.
And any last thoughts you have before we cut it off?
It's just nice to meet you, and I'm glad we spoke.
Yeah, I am too, Natasha.
I think you're great, Ram.
Well, thank you. So I do want to, with great gratitude, thank Natasha Latour for spending this time with us. I know it's going to be multiple programs that this thing will spread over, but it'll be important programming and broadcast material for those who are going through some tough things in life that need a big boost in their faith, an encouragement that goes beyond the normal. I think your life, Natasha, is going to be one of those things that encourages a lot of people to hear this story.
I
So
hope
thank you.
so.
Thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. No problem.
I belong to Jesus. The cross that once was mine became the curse that he would bear and give to me new life. I am his forever, forever he is mine. My freedom bought and paid for by his blood divine.
A very special thanks to our extraordinary guest today, Natasha Latour. It's an inspiring story, to say the least. And if you missed anything today, just find the podcast streaming at our website, CompassionRadio.com.
Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. We'll see you tomorrow.